Welcome to Transformed by Grace, an in-depth Bible study of God's Word, presented by the Berean Bible Society. Join us each time on this station as Pastor Kevin brings the transforming message of God's grace revealed through the Holy Scriptures.
The following was found written in the flyleaf of Evangelist Billy Sunday's Bible after his homegoing. 29 years ago, with the Holy Spirit as my guide, I entered at the portico of Genesis, walked down the corridor of the Old Testament art galleries where pictures of Noah, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, and Moses hung on the wall. I passed into the music room of Psalms, for the Spirit sweeps the keyboard of nature until it seems that every reed and pipe in God's great organ responds to the harp of David, the sweet singer of Israel. I entered the chamber of Ecclesiastes, where the voice of the preacher is heard, and into the conservatory of Sharon in the lily of the valley, where sweet spices filled and perfumed my life. I entered the business office of Proverbs, and on into the observatory of the prophets, where I saw telescopes of various sizes pointing to far-off events, concentrating on the bright and morning star, which was to rise above the moonlit hills of Judea for our salvation and redemption. I entered the audience room of the King of Kings, catching a vision written by Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. From there, into the correspondence room with Paul, Peter, James, and John writing the epistles. I stepped into the throne room of Revelation, where tower the glittering peaks, where sits the King of Kings upon his throne of glory, and I cried out, "All hail the power of Jesus' name, let angels prostrate fall, bring forth the royal diadem and crown him Lord of all." The Bible points to Christ, the Bible lifts him up high and shows him to be God, the only Savior and Lord of all. It's a blessing to have this book. It's a blessing, as Billy Sunday experienced, to be able to walk through it and learn its truths and wisdom with the Holy Spirit as our guide. Psalm 119:33 says, "Teach me, O Lord, the way of thy statutes, and I shall keep it unto the end. Give me understanding, and I shall keep thy law, yea, I shall observe it with my whole heart. Make me to go in the path of thy commandments, for therein do I delight. Incline my heart unto thy testimonies, and not to covetousness. Turn away mine eyes from beholding vanity, and quicken thou me in thy way. Establish thy word unto thy servant who is devoted to thy fear. Turn away my reproach, which I fear, for thy judgments are good. Behold, I have longed after thy precepts. Quicken me in thy righteousness." The writer's desire remains consistent in Psalm 119. He desires that the Lord teach him and give him understanding of his word. But he didn't want just the knowledge of it only. He wanted to keep it. It says there, "I shall keep it unto the end." He wanted to obey it, live it unto the end, till the end of his life. He wanted to observe God's word with all his heart, verse 34 says. And that's what God wants from us too. To not only know it, but to keep it and to live by it. The writer asked the Lord for guidance and for him to keep him in the way, the path of his word, and that he not turn away or look away from the path because of the sins of covetousness or vanity. He wanted his heart and mind to be focused on the word of God. He desired that God's word be firmly established in himself, who is devoted to fearing God and to serving and worshiping only him, as he says in verse 38, "Establish thy word unto thy servant." He then asked God to turn away my reproach. And it's obvious through this chapter that the writer had a fear of just reproach, that through inconsistency on his part or him falling into sin, that he might be a poor testimony before the world. And he says he feared that. He didn't want anyone to speak evil of the ways of God, which are good in every way, because of a wrongdoing that he might have done or by his poor testimony or inconsistent life. And so he asked God in verse 40 to strengthen him, quicken me, to give him life so that he might always walk in the path of righteousness. Psalm 119:41 to 48 says, "Let thy mercies come also unto me, O Lord, even thy salvation according to thy word. So shall I have wherewith to answer him that reproacheth me, for I trust in thy word. And take not the word of truth utterly out of my mouth, for I have hoped in thy judgments. So shall I keep thy law continually forever and ever. And I will walk at liberty, for I seek thy precepts. And I will speak of thy testimonies also before kings, and will not be ashamed. And I will delight myself in thy commandments, which I have loved. My hands also will I lift up unto thy commandments, which I have loved, and I will meditate in thy statutes." The psalmist here calls upon the Lord to save or to deliver him from his enemy by his mercy according to his word. By God's word, he would be delivered by having truth on his side, being able to answer his enemy who was reproaching and slandering him. He trusted the word to do its work as he used it. He says, "So shall I have wherewith to answer him that reproacheth me." And then he says, "I trust in thy word." And that's a powerful statement. That's what God wants from each of our lives, to trust in his word. The author asks by his mercy that God would give him the words and that the word of truth would come clearly out and come to mind when answering one who was against him. And often we need to ask the Lord for this when we speak the word of God to others, that verses in his word would come to mind and be able to share the word clearly. In verses 44 to 45, the writer resolves to do a number of things. He desires to keep and obey God's commandments continually and to walk and live at liberty because I keep thy precepts. The word frees us. It doesn't hold us down in bondage like so many think that the word of God does. It actually sets you free. It liberates us to live the life that God intended, to be what God desires us to be and to find real meaning and real joy in life. And I like how he says in verse 46, he says, "I'm going to speak out boldly. I'm going to speak of God and his word unashamedly, even if I was before a king." He said, even in the presence of a king, he found delight in giving himself to knowing and living God's commandments, which he loved. He says that two times in verse 47 and 48. He really loved God's word. He says in verse 48, he would lift up his hands in rejoicing at God's word because he genuinely loved it. Psalm 119:49 says, "Remember the word unto thy servant, upon which thou hast caused me to hope. This is my comfort and my affliction, for thy word hath quickened me. The proud have had me greatly in derision, yet have I not declined from thy law. I remembered thy judgments of old, O Lord, and have comforted myself. Horror hath taken a hold upon me because of the wicked that forsake thy law. Thy statutes have been my songs in the house of my pilgrimage. I have remembered thy name, O Lord, in the night, and have kept thy law. This I had because I kept thy precepts." He calls on God to remember his promises. And then in verse 52, he says, "I remember." He reminds God that he has remembered God's judgments of old, or his past deliverances of his people from affliction. And the writer takes comfort in God working on behalf of his people. As we learn the word of God, we see that often. But as for him, the word had been his song, verse 54. He sang the word around his home. He calls it the house of my pilgrimage, too. I like how he says that, or the house he lived in for now, because he knew he was just a pilgrim, and he was just passing through this world. Speaking of his home in verse 55, he also tells the Lord that he remembered him. He says, "I have remembered thy name." That's the second time he says, "I have remembered." And he says, "I remembered him in the night," or while in bed, while he's wide awake and others were sleeping. And he's awake and he says, "I'm remembering you. I thought of you, Lord. I thought of your person. I thought of what you've done. I thought of your word." The writer says in verse 56, "This I had because I kept thy precepts." He had hope of God's promises, which he says, "which thou hast caused me to hope." This I had because I kept your precepts. Comfort in my affliction, verse 50. This I had, because he kept his word. Remembrance of the judgments of old. This I had, because he knew the word. Horror at the wicked who do not observe God's word. This I had, because he knew the word. To sing God's word out of praise and joy. This I had, because he knew God's word. All of this in remembering God's word, remembering it in the night time. He had all of that because he had a knowledge and a love for the word of God. Psalm 119, verse 57 says, Thou art my portion, O Lord. I have said that I would keep thy words. I entreated thy favor with my whole heart. Be merciful unto me according to thy word. I thought on my ways and turned my feet unto thy testimonies. I made haste and delayed not to keep thy commandments. The bands of the wicked have robbed me, but I have not forgotten thy law. At midnight I will rise to give thanks unto thee because of thy righteous judgments. I am a companion of all them that fear thee and of them that keep thy precepts. The earth, O Lord, is full of thy mercy. Teach me thy statutes. The psalmist exclaims, Thou art my portion, O Lord. The great and glorious God of the universe is his own. Thou art mine, my portion. To him, God was all in all. He needed nothing else, and he asked for nothing else. He is his provider and his sustainer. And that's true for us too. He is our portion. In light of this statement, because God is his portion, the writer states, Therefore, I'm going to keep your words. It shows us the importance of God's word, because clinging to God as our portion is not done independent of his word. Because God is our portion, we must keep the word of God. We must grip it. We must learn it. We must grow in it. We must live it. And as we do so, we find God to be our all-sufficient portion and our strength. Then realizing his life and ways did not match with God's word and God's ways, he turned to God, and he turned my feet unto thy testimonies. And he did so with haste. He says, verse 60, I made haste and delayed not with that decision. He did not forget God's law then, in verse 61. Even after being robbed, he says, the bands of the wicked have robbed me. Instead, he lifted up his praise. At midnight I will raise to give thee thanks at all times, even at midnight. He knew now that he had turned to the Lord, that he was a companion, and he was a part of a fellowship of all God-fearing Bible lovers. I am a companion of all of them that fear thee, and of them that keep thy precepts, verse 63 says. That's a great thing to be a part of, isn't it, to know that there are many others out there who love the word, and that you're a companion with those people in that fellowship. The writer then rejoices in the greatness and vastness of God's mercy. And he shows the vastness of it when he says, the earth, the whole earth, it's full of thy mercy. And the psalmist wishes then to grow in his knowledge of that mercy when he says, teach me your statutes.
We'll be returning to the program in just a minute. But first, we'd like to take this time to thank you, our partners, for making these programs possible. If you would like to access our library of helpful Bible study tools, go to BereanBibleSociety.org.
Things That Differ, The Fundamentals of Dispensationalism, is a paperback 290-page book written by Pastor Cornelius R. Stamm. Those who struggle with rightly dividing the word of truth will find this volume most helpful. Pastor Stamm gives the readers an in-depth look at the major differences between prophecy and the mystery. Every believer should read this work. This book, more than any other, has been used to bring people to an understanding of the distinctive ministry of the Apostle Paul. To order your copy, contact the Berean Bible Society for pricing and availability at 262-255-4750. Or visit our website at www.BereanBibleSociety.org.
to receive our free, full-color 32-page monthly magazine, The Berean Searchlight, call 262-255-4750 or subscribe online at www.bereanbiblesociety.org. Thank you again for your generous gifts. And now, back to the teaching with Pastor Kevin.
Psalm 119, verse 65 says, Thou hast dealt well with thy servant, O Lord, according unto thy word. Teach me good judgment and knowledge, for I have believed thy commandments. Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now have I kept thy word. Thou art good, and doest good. Teach me thy statutes. The proud have forged a lie against me, but I will keep thy precepts with my whole heart. Thy heart is as fat as grease, but I delight in thy law. It is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes. The law of thy mouth is better unto me than thousands of gold and silver. But the writer says now is different in his life. He had strayed before he was afflicted, but now the psalmist had learned that his adversity was God's means to draw him closer to himself and learn the faithfulness of God's word. And he could even say then in verse 71 after it, that it is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes. And in light of that affliction, he also says that God's good. Verse 68, Thou art good and doest good. God is good all the time. He's always good. All he does is good. And then again, right after he says that, he says, Teach me your statutes. He desired to grow and his knowledge of God's goodness by the Word, because that's the Word of God is good. And when we learn it, we learn about God's goodness. He rejoices in his affliction, and he rejoices in God's Word, which he says, in light of that, those whose heart were fat as grease, in light of that materialism, he says, the law of thy mouth is better unto me than thousands of gold and silver. And so he found where true riches are in the Word of God. Psalm 119, verse 73 says, Thy hands have made me and fashioned me. Give me understanding that I may learn thy commandments. They that fear thee will be glad when they see me, because I have hoped in thy word. I know, O Lord, that thy judgments are right, and that thou in faithfulness hast afflicted me. Let, I pray thee, thy merciful kindness be for my comfort, according to thy word unto thy servant. Let thy tender mercies come unto me, that I may live, for thy law is my delight. Let the proud be ashamed, for they dealt perversely with me without a cause, but I will meditate in thy precepts. Let those that fear thee turn unto me, and those that have known thy testimonies. Let my heart be sound in thy statutes, that I be not ashamed. The psalmist begins this section by recognizing that he is the workmanship of God. And since he was formed and fashioned by God, since God is his maker, logically and wisely, the writer looks to him for how he should live his life. It's just a simple logical step that we should all do, that because God's created us, he knows how we should live, and we should look to his word. And in looking to him for understanding of his maker's ways, of the purpose for which he'd been made, and for how he should live his life, he looks to God's word. And he says, that I may learn thy commandments. He had so grown in his life and faith in God that it was a joy to other believers to be around him. Verse 74, I like that verse. They that fear thee will be glad when they see me. Other believers were happy to see him coming. His life had changed for the better. It was transformed in his kindness and his joy and his love. It was evident, and he was a great guy to be around. Everybody liked to be around him. He'd also grown to know that everything that God does and everything God has said in his word is right. Verse 75, I know, O Lord, that thy judgments, they're right. And he'd learned that in his faithfulness to him, God sometimes allowed trials in his life for his own personal good to draw him closer to himself. Psalm 119, verse 81 says, My soul fainteth for thy salvation, but I hope in thy word. Mine eyes fail for thy word, saying, When wilt thou comfort me? For I am become like a bottle in the smoke, yet do I not forget thy statutes. How many are the days of thy servant? When wilt thou execute judgment on them that persecute me? The proud have digged pits for me, which are not after thy law. All thy commandments are faithful. They persecute me wrongfully. Help thou me. They had almost consumed me upon the earth, but I forsook not thy precepts. Quicken me after thy loving kindness, so shall I keep the testimony of thy mouth. In this section, we see the humanity of the writer. His circumstances are once again dark. He'd become very weak in his soul. His soul fainteth as he's anxiously awaiting God's deliverance from his latest trial. But he still declares his trust in God's word and his promises, and by this he is sustained. Samuel Rutherford said this about trials: believe under a cloud and wait for him when there is no moonlight nor starlight. Verse 82, he says, mine eyes fail for thy word. It speaks of the writer's anxious looking, straining his eyes, like squinting his eyes, watching for the Lord and desiring his deliverance and comfort. And then he honestly asks, when will you comfort me? He states that he'd been weakened by his sorrow like a wineskin. That bottle speaks of a wineskin in the smoke, and that how it became dried up and shriveled. And so it's speaking of his weakness in his latest hardship. But even in the midst of that hardship, he still has his faith in God. And he does not forget God's word, as he says, for I am become like a bottle in the smoke, yet do I not forget thy statutes. The psalmist wonders if his days are numbered. He says, how many are the days of thy servant? He's wondering if it's time to depart from this life. And he asks the Lord when he will execute judgment on his persecutors. It's important to note that the Psalms are prophetic, and they have a far fulfillment in the future, and they will find fulfillment in the future tribulation period. In that day, believing Israel is going to be persecuted by the Antichrist. And prayers like this in that day, when they talk about executing judgment on them that persecute me, that's going to be an appropriate prayer, appropriate request, looking for God's deliverance, asking for God to sustain them, finding hope in the Word of God. And that's what they'll do in that day, in the tribulation period. He explains that the proud, which do not follow God's law, and thus were unbelievers, when he says, when you don't follow God's law, then that means you're an unbeliever when you're under the law. They had dug pits or laid traps for him, made plots for his destruction. But yet, he knows God's word is faithful and that his commandments are trustworthy and worthy to be relied on fully. He appeals to God how those who persecute him are doing so wrongfully. And then, in those last three words of verse 86, you can feel his desperation with the simple three words, help thou me. That's a good prayer sometimes. That's all you need to say to the Lord sometimes. And he says, they'd almost consumed me upon the earth, or they almost made an end of me. It was almost curtains for him. But even in this time, being near his own death, the effect of the persecution did not drive him from God or lead him to abandon hope and trust in God. But rather, as he says, I forsook not thy precepts. And then the writer asked the Lord to quicken me after thy loving kindness, to restore him, strengthen him, and so that he might continue to keep and follow his testimonies. And when you learn the word, you learn about God's loving kindness. Psalm 119, verse 89 says, forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Thy faithfulness is unto all generations. Thou hast established the earth, and it abideth. They continue this day according to thine ordinances, for all are thy servants. Unless thy law had been my delights, I should then have perished in mine affliction. I will never forget thy precepts, for with them thou hast quickened me. I am thine. Save me, for I have sought thy precepts. The wicked have waited for me to destroy me, but I will consider thy testimonies. I have seen an end of all perfection, but thy commandment is exceeding broad. It's been said regarding this stanza, after tossing about on a sea of trouble, the psalmist here leaps to shore and stands upon a rock. The writer states that God's word is settled, it stands firm, it's fixed, it's sure, it's immovable, it's settled in heaven, completely out of the reach of men. This world is restless, it's always changing, but the word of God is sure and unchanging. In spite of any and all efforts to destroy it, the word of God is eternal and settled and fixed in heaven. God's word stands as firmly as the heaven in which it dwells and from where it came. It has heaven-like stability for our life. Because it is eternal, though generations of people change and pass away, God's word is faithful unto all generations, it says in verse 90. It meets the needs of all people of all time. In verse 90, the psalmist shows that God's word is firm and stable, and it's as firm and stable as the ground you stand on. God established the earth, and it abideth, and it stands. And the word of God, likewise, stands firm. The stability of God's word and faithfulness is also likened to the constancy and order of the creation in the heaven and the earth, which functions according to the ordinances, verse 91, and laws which he has established it with, and is all under his sustaining control. I like how he says it, for all are thy servants. Those planets, those stars out there, those are God's servants, because he is creator. Verse 96, the psalmist says, I have seen an end of all perfection. He writes that in this world, he'd seen an end of all perfection, that as far as man is concerned, and their moral character, and in any and all things he's observed in this world, he finds an end to perfection, and he finds imperfection. There's a limit to all other perfection he'd seen. But as far as God's word is concerned, he says, thy commandment is exceeding broad. In other words, it's unlimited, measureless in its perfection. And by this statement, he declares that God's word is absolutely perfect.
Thank you again for tuning in to Transformed by Grace. We appreciate your prayer support and the financial gifts. The purpose and mission of the Berean Bible Society is to help you understand the whole counsel of the Word of God. For more information, visit our website at www.bereanbiblesociety.org or give us a call at 262-255-4750. Or if you prefer, write us at the Berean Bible Society, P.O. Box 756, Germantown, Wisconsin, 53022. Now until next time, may you be transformed by God's grace.